For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all of the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophecy, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously.
Lori, where did I put my binder? Oh, very good. Thought I'd do my sermon without any of my notes. That'd be interesting. Well, let's pray before we begin, shall we? Father, it's been a good morning to gather together in your presence, to praise you and worship you through our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Father, we want to love you more. We want to know you more. And so we ask that through the opening of your word that you would reveal your character to us, your love to us, and that we would understand the need to gather as your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we get into the body of the message, I want all of you to look around. Look around to the people around you. These are your brothers and sisters in Christ. Maybe you've known them for many, many years. Maybe you only know them for a few months. But look around and look around at your brothers and sisters in Christ. How good is it that we are here this morning, gathering together? Isn't it great? As you think about that throughout the message, today we're continuing on in our sermon series on the church and its mission. The church and its mission. And for those of you who are a part of our gatherings on Sunday mornings, it's good to see you, as you've probably heard about this series a little bit. And if you're visiting this morning, it's good to see you as well, as we take a look into community for this week and next week in this series. But our first week during this series, we looked at the church. We took a hard look at what it meant to be the church. Is the church a building, or is it even an event we look forward to on a Sunday morning? Through our gaze into Scripture, which we try to do every week, we found that the church is actually neither of those things. But actually, the church is the people of God who have been saved by God for his purposes in the world. Our second week, if you can think back that far, we continued on the church and how we saw how the gospel itself is the way we are to live, and it's the reflection in which we live in our daily lives. As the people of God, we live our lives as a reflection of the gospel's power, both its saving power in our lives and its keeping power in our daily lives. And for the last 2 weeks, we were going over the mission of the church, Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And let's read this together. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. This is the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And if you want to open your Bibles or look in the sermon notes, it's there. As I think Richard just told me, it's not going to be on the screen, but that's okay. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. It's the end of Matthew.
Oh, there it is.
Here it is. Then Jesus came to them and said, let's read this together, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is the Great Commission, the Great Commission. And in order to obey Jesus' commission to the church, we must tell others, both those who are saved and those who are lost, about Jesus. We must share the gospel. We must tell others about Jesus' works, his death, his resurrection. Our first week, it was all about words. All about words and how the gospel is a proclamation of our words in our life. how in order for people to see the reason behind our actions, we must tell of the gospel. And last week we were reminded of the gospel and how it's both not just a proclamation, but it's also a service, both proclaiming and acting upon what we believe. Ultimately, we saw how the gospel must be shared through both of these things, words and deeds, not just words alone, not just deeds alone, but both together. Now, in all of these topics and themes that we've gone through in the past month, they've all led us up to this week and next week, which we're talking about community. Webster Dictionary, if you look in the dictionary, that often it defines the word community as a unified body of individuals. A unified body of individuals. Now think about it in your life, think about the people you know. At least in my life, I've seen that almost everybody is looking for community. A place to belong. A place to feel welcomed. Everyone is looking for a chance to be a part of a unified body of individuals. As the church, we are a community of believers who have our faith in Christ and our desire to share him with all we come into contact with in common. Today, as you've seen in the bulletin, we're going to go through community and specifically about our fellowship with other believers. And the Great Commission, as it's up there behind me and in your sermon notes, in one sense is a really great testament to the church declaring that we need to gather together. Because the Great Commission itself declares that God is three in one. He is the Father, he is the Son, and he is the Holy Spirit. Meaning that in some glorious Trinitarian mystery, it is not good that God would be alone. Just as he declared before Eve was made to Adam, that it is not good that man be alone. This is where I want to start, in the very beginning, literally, in Genesis. Genesis 2:18 says this, "The Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.'" It was not if God wasn't enough for Adam. It was actually that Adam's being alone wasn't good enough for God. The ultimate point was not that all of God wasn't enough for all of Adam. It was that all of Adam wasn't enough for all of God. One human, one person would not enjoy God as much as many humans together. As many humans together. You see, God from the very beginning, before there was nothing, from the beginning, he would choose a people for himself that would enjoy, worship, and follow him, not as individuals, but in community. And as we look forward into the Bible, we come to understand, past the book of Genesis, that there is no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. A Lone Ranger Christian. To be a Christian is to be in community. And perhaps in today's society, as you think about our society, that must be a louder call than ever before. You see, there's this pull from the world, it seems like, to not gather together. Perhaps it's the ever common phrase that we use. What is it? I'm just busy. Or life is busy. That we tell people and we tell God when they say that they haven't seen us for a while. Perhaps it's apathy that declares, I've had a really hard week and I just want to sleep in on a Sunday. I don't really care about coming in, singing some songs, praying, and listening to a sermon. Perhaps it's the culture around us that sneaks in and tells you that you can just sit in front of your laptop, your computer, or your phone, listen to a long playlist of worship songs and a sermon, and that all of that tells you that you have church. Do you know people like this? Do you know people like this? Perhaps you are one of these people this morning, or perhaps you were one of these people in the past. The question that really comes out of this message, this pull from our society and our culture is it really important for us to still gather together? Is it really still important? In a time and age where it's easier to see families dress up for the hockey game and not the worship service, we must ask this. Is it really still important for us to gather together? According to the Barna Research Group, this group that does statistics everywhere, the Barna Research Group, out of a study done in 2015, only 10% of Canadians attended a weekly religious service, which if you think about back in your life, maybe when you were a child, it's lowered dramatically, even from the turn of the century, from even 33% in the year 2000. With the reality of this statistic, you can probably look to people even in your own family right now, perhaps your kids, your grandkids, maybe your parents who have grown up attending these worship services and now later in life as adults, they don't do it anymore. Now for the start of our exploration into this question, to the answer to this question, I want us to open up to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25. Hebrews is near the end of the Bible in the New Testament. Hebrews 10, 23 to 25, and it'll be behind me as well. This is what it says. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You see, it's a biblical mandate and command for Christians to not give up meeting together, as even some in that day, you can see, had the habit of doing. In the New Testament in particular, if you look in the New Testament, all of the metaphors, all of the images that describe the church never really talk about an individual. We are a holy nation, as 1 Peter says. We are a body, as the Apostle Paul talks about numerous times. We're a flock, which all describe a community, never an individual. We are a people, not a person. We are called to meet together in person, face to face. Just like if I wanted to get to know a person really well, and I mean really well, I wouldn't sit at a laptop and chat over Facebook or talk over Skype. To get to know Jesus well, we must gather with his body. Personal connection is something we must never underestimate in today's society. When communication sometimes never gets deeper than the text that we send a person or a video call over computers, we must continue meeting face to face, encouraging one another, worshiping together, and being together. We must strive to be together. One of the main reasons this is the case is the Hebrews passage here. It tells us that we meet so we can spur one another on toward love and good deeds and encourage one another. You see, as light in a dark world, as we explored last week, reminding us that we are light. As light in a dark world, the church needs to gather to find encouragement from God's word and God's people. So I want to spend the majority of our time on this Hebrews passage. Keep it open in your Bibles, if you have your Bibles open, or in the sermon notes, because it really details why we must meet. And I want to spend time going deeply into these reasons. So keep your Bibles open. First reason I want to talk about here is encouraging one another. Encouraging one another. The writer of Hebrews says that some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Earlier in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 3:13, the writer mentions that we must encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. You see, in one sense, one of the main purposes of our gathering, this gathering that we have together as the church, whether it be on a Sunday or throughout the week, is to encourage one another. This is one of the great commands of the church and great privileges when we gather together. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. It's the church Paul is writing to, that they are doing this. But he's reminding them, don't give up, encourage one another, build one another up. Now we must be encouraged so we don't fall into sin. And we must be encouraged so that we remain faithful and steadfast to this mission, this great commission that Jesus has given us, that he's laid on our hearts, on our whole being. Discouragement can come in at a moment's notice. And so the gathering of God's people is vital as we live our lives in a way that shares the gospel through our words and our deeds. So as you think about the writer of Hebrews, through God, commands us to encourage one another, think about somebody, perhaps in this room even, a brother or a sister in Christ who needs encouraging. Make a note to encourage them. And not simply encourage them in basic terms, in how they look perhaps, but encourage them with the gospel. Remind them that God is with them in the midst of everything. Remind them that God's grace is sufficient for all of us. It's amazing what power is behind an encouraging word. Do you believe that? An encouraging word. An encouraging action as well. Don't hesitate to encourage one another and build each other up. If you look back at the Hebrews passage, the writer also talks about spurring one another in love and in good deeds. As the church, if we try to do things for Jesus without spending time with his body, we will get discouraged and frustrated. But if we go on in good deeds, with the motivation being sharing Jesus while spending time gathering with his body, we will not only be encouraged, but we will be reminded of Jesus, who told his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount to not be anxious about anything. Spurring one another in love and in good deeds also reminds us of our need for Jesus. Because too often, especially if we're leaders within the church, we can often do things for Jesus while forgetting to be with Jesus. Gathering with his body, his people, reminds us that we are to dwell in his presence and worship him above all. Now, I know from personal experience in my own life, as well as stories from many of you that you have told me, that when we would neglect to meet together, something happens in our lives. When we decide not to come on a Sunday, perhaps 1, 2 weeks, or even years, there is something that happens to us. You see, if we try and find Jesus and grow in our faith in Jesus while being separate from his body, how can we expect to grow? Meaning together as the church, it proclaims to the rest of the world that we are with Jesus. While not meeting together and saying we love Jesus, but not his body, is hypocritical. Matthew 12:30, Jesus says this, whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. Let me say that again. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. The early church, this group of people led by the apostles, the disciples of Jesus, seemed to know this and act upon it. In fact, the early church needed each other. Quite literally, they needed each other. To not just gather together, to not just encourage one another, and to not just worship together, but they needed each other's presence in their lives, because quite literally, if they didn't, it meant life or death. They needed each other, the early church. But what about us? As Canadians, as people in the 21st century, what has happened? Have we gotten too comfortable with the freedom that we have in meeting together? Have we gotten lazy in our thinking that in Canada we are free to meet, so why should we meet at all? Often in my life, when I've been at a point in my life where I've thought that I shouldn't even gather together with other Christians, I was amazed at times when I was apathetic hearing stories about the persecuted church. Even today, in the 21st century, meeting together, who risk their lives to gather together and worship together. Have you read of these people, our brothers and sisters in Christ in other countries? Many know that they are being watched because of their faith, and they still go underground, sometimes literally, or to somebody's house or a place of worship so they can just be with other Christians, just so they can gather together and love each other together. Jesus says in John 13:35, a verse that many of us know, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." The questions I want to ask out of that is, how can we love each other if we don't gather together? How can we obey Jesus' commands if we are not gathering together? You see, gathering together is an expectation from Jesus himself, that if you love him, you will love his body. Jesus is quite clear that if you are for him, you will gather together. You will gather with the body of Christ. Now, much like if Rebecca, my wife, told me that she loved me but didn't want to be with me, if we love Jesus, we must be with his body that acts as his hands and feet while we wait for him to return. We must gather together as broken people, yes, broken people, who are unworthy to come to the table and throne of God, but through our faith in Jesus, we can come to him when we gather with his people. We come to encourage one another, build each other up, and to spur one another in love and good deeds. Now just think about the opportunity to gather together. How amazing of an opportunity is that for us to show the world around us, to meet together and sing together, just like Paul talks about in Ephesians 5:19-20. As he tells the church in Ephesus and us to be speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing and making music from your heart to the Lord, and always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, our gathering together says something to the world around us. It says that we will not cater to the world's pattern of simply skipping the gathering and instead going on the computer and listening to music and a sermon. Our gathering reflects back to the world that we are the body of Christ who come together to be encouraged, to worship together, to sit under the preaching of his word, and then to go back into the world and share the good news with all we come into contact with. Later this fall, as many of you have heard, we're going to be launching some small groups, an opportunity to gather together even more during the week, to study the same thing together as the church, to worship together, to break bread together in people's homes, to be challenged together, to encourage one another, to spur one another through love for one another. Our challenge this morning as we sit here, as we're gathered together, is to not neglect meeting together. And not just on Sundays, but throughout the week as well. This day and age, when following Jesus above all things seems to be dwindling, we must gather together as the church, with the church, to encourage one another, pray for one another, worship with one another, to sit under the preaching of his word together. I want to make clear that this doesn't mean that we don't listen to worship music on the computer. We don't listen to a sermon during the week. In fact, it's pretty crucial that we have spiritual disciplines in place to grow in our faith during the week. What must never be replaced by anything, though, is the gathering of the church in any setting. Whether it be a place of worship like this, a house where you study and worship together, or even around a campfire. The church must gather, and where the church gathers, God is present. He is for us, he is not against us. And he is there for us to worship, for us to love, for us to know deeply and richly together as God's people. Let's pray together. Father, how good it is to be together with your people. And Father, if there is somebody that is in our midst, in our church, someone that loves you but needs encouraging or a spurring on with love, Father, give us the name of that person right now. May your Spirit ignite a passion for us to love each other and to not neglect meeting together. Even though there was a pull for us to stay back, to do our own thing, may we be challenged by your word and you that we are to not neglect meeting together. Thank you that we can come together and worship you. We thank you for this time. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.